Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the ninth month, the seventh day in the year 2025, and it's the 13th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
And it's the feast day of the holy judges, Deborah, Gideon, and Deborah, and Samson. Samson, we call Samson Plan Z Samson. He was on Plan Z, but he did fulfill God's will in the end. A good lesson for all those who fall away or you do something bad, that God will forgive you if you're sincere in your confession, and he can return you to greatness, like David too. So, anyway, today's lecture is going to be titled Ezekiel chapter 8 and 6 on the desecration and destruction of Catholic places. Now, these are powerful verses when you're reading them, because in the Old Testament covenant era, the synagogue was the church, Israel, all right? In the New Covenant era, it's the Catholic Church, and Israel is the Catholic Church and Catholics. That's the New Israel that it took the place of. So when you're reading in the Old Testament about Israel and about the church, it now refers to the Catholic Church, to Catholics. That's what it refers to. So there's a lot of warnings in the Old Testament about what happened to the Jews when they went bad. What happened when the Israels desecrated in their temples and went bad? What did God do to them? And as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, and let you now be warned by that, because if you go bad, God is going to do the same thing he did to them to you. They're no longer God's chosen people anymore. They lost that privilege when they denied Christ. Now, us Catholics are God's chosen people. We're taking up the mantle. And if we don't carry it, the mantle, and we disobey God like they did, we're going to get the exact same punishments. So when you're reading the prophets in light of that, and they're talking about Israel back then, it applies to the Catholic Church and Catholics. That's the same thing that's going to happen too. And there's also prophecies in the Old Testament that have not yet been fulfilled. I'm not going to go into that here, but there's some prophecies that these prophets have told us that are still yet to be fulfilled. But these are things that happened to the Jews when they went bad during the Old Covenant era. And that was God's church. That was his people. And take warning about what you're going to read here, because the same thing happens to Catholics when we go bad, because now we are God's only chosen people. Catholic Church is his church. And when Catholics go bad and desecrate their churches, the same thing's going to happen to them as what God did to the Jews. And we even really deserve worse punishments, because we have the Old Testament and the New Testament combined as a testimony. So when Catholics go bad, you can expect the same things to happen. So I'm just going to read in the a brief. I'm not going to go into all the desecration stuff. I'm just do a overview of it. But when you're reading in Ezekiel chapter 8, I'm only going to read a couple of verses on Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 5 and verse 10. But we're going to concentrate only on one desecration. My book is loaded with a bunch of them, but I want to talk about St. Peter's Basilica. And I think you guys are going to explain to you what I mean after read Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezekiel has a vision of God again. And God brings him into Jerusalem. He brings him into the temple. And he said to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes towards the way of the north. And I lifted up my eyes towards the way of the north. And behold, on the north side of the gate of the altar, the idol of jealousy, and the very entry of the temple, the very door into the temple, the idol of jealousy. The idol of jealousy is a false god. And here's the commentary on that. Baal or any other idol, particularly Adonis, which they mention in verse 14, who fell victim to jealousy of Mars in pagan mythology. So whatever the idol is, and that's what they're thinking here is Adonis, but it's a false god, it's an idol of jealousy, and it provokes God to jealousy too, when he sees that on the door. So you're talking about, here Ezekiel's being picked up by God, and he's going into, and he's looking at the, and he's saying, look what's on the door. Look what's on the entry into my temple. Look what's on the door. Now we're going to look at what's on the door in St. Peter's Basilica. And what you're going to see on the door, which is there down to today, was there in 1445. That's when that was put up, that door, and it's still there. By apostate Pope Eugene IV. He commissioned this guy, Filaretti, to make the doors, and then he put them up on St. Peter's Basilica, the entry to God's main temple on earth. And I'm going to quote a little bit from my book on that part about the doors. I started out with this this from Isaiah 57, 3 to 8. But draw near hither, you sons of sorceress and seed of adulterer and of the harlot, upon whom you have jested, upon whom you have opened your mouth wide and put out your tongue. Are not you wicked children, a false seed? You seek your comfort in idols? Shall I not be angry at these things? And behold the post. Thou hast set up thy remembrances, thy idols. And so when you're looking at, I'm going to show you pictures in this video of the doors. I'm going to describe it here. But I'm just going to give you this quote here. And they're called the central bronze doors to St. Peter's Basilica. Despite the fact that other churches in Rome were desecrated in the 12th century, from the information I have, St. Peter's Basilica was first desecrated in 1445 under the reign of apostate Pope Eugene IV, who commissioned the making of the basilica's central bronze doors, sometimes called gates. The idolatrous and immoral artist Antonio di Pietro Avellino, more often known as Filaretti, and his helpers completed the doors in 1445, according to the Vatican's website. And the doors measure, I'm not going to give you the measurements, so that doesn't matter. So now we're going to show you a picture of all the idols that were on, or that are on that door. Okay? So you think just because Christ came, you're going to get off easy, and that's going to happen when you do the same thing they did? Sin is sin. Idolatry is idolatry, then and now. And you think you're going to get off, you're going to get even punished more. Because now you desecrated the old covenant and the new covenant. Both. Wake up, people. I love this evidence because I hate it. I love it and I hate it. And I hate it because I love it because it's visible. It's visible. You can't come out and say, Richie misquoted it. The guy, it's not the quote. It's not there. You don't believe it. You don't believe these pictures I'm going to show you. Take an airplane over to the Vatican City and look at it. Maybe I'll go over there with you. If you give me, buy me a ticket. I'll go over there with you. I want to make sure you're honest about it. And I'll walk you up to the door with my hand behind your head. Just to make sure you look at it, right? And I'm going to say, look at that door. Look, look. What is that? What is that? And if they lie, bang! I bang the head right on the door. Okay, next one. Again, what is that? I'm only giving you 3 chances. Third one, I'm going to kill you. All right? What is that? Is that Jupiter raping Ganymede? No, that's St. Peter. Bang! That's 2. Next time, I give you a lobotomy. Second one, lobotomy, you're dead. All right? Wake up, people. Stop lying to yourselves. Look at the evidence. All right? Now I'm going to describe to you what's on those doors. I'm going to smash your head on it if you don't listen, all right? Maybe God will even pick the door up and smash them with it. Bring it over here like an image of the door. You can see how on their judgment day, what God can do to, how many things God can do to these people, right? So now you're going to be looking at the picture of the door. We start out with, we have a detail with a false goddess, Roma, holding a statue of Mars. We have a detail of Janus with his two faces, the two-faced Janus. We have Circe turning men into beasts. We have Zeus abducting Europa. We have Zeus abducting Ganymede for his lover and cupbearer and raping. They call this the rape of Zeus and Ganymede. And look, think about all the fornications of pedophilia and also fornications with adultery that's going on in this period of time. Art imitate reality. You put this up here, you're under the curse. Romans 1 curse. You deny God in the faith, you can't control your morality. You go crazy. This stuff has been going on for a long time, folks. So now you got Zeus abducting Ganymede. Then you got Phrixus and his sister Helle on the flying ram with golden wool. Then you got Mercury lulling Argus to sleep with his music playing. Then you got another one on the door. Look, when I read Ezekiel chapter 8, he only mentions one idol. I'm giving you a slew of idols. It's not just one. Mercury killing Argus and Juno removing Argus. Argus is 100 eyes and sticking them on the tail of her peacock. You have a goose in the temple of Juno saving Rome from the Gauls. You have the centaur Nessus abducting Deianira, wife of Hercules. And then you have Cadmus slaying the dragon. All that is on the door in St. Peter's Basilica down till today. Are they false gods? Are they idols? If you answer no to that question and you're supposed to be a Catholic, you're dead. If I have power over you, you're dead. It's absolutely true. If you answer no to that question and God says, Richard, you have power over him and authority over them to do what you want, I kill. I don't. You answer, that's the very first commandment. Where do we go from there? If you think that's okay, why argue with the person like? These are the same people. You look at the evidence on 9/11 and earthly things, and they lie about that. The same people that say Muslims worship the true God. Like that bum that I had over there once. Muslims worship the true God, right? We ask them a couple questions, right? Is Jesus Christ God? Yes. Do Muslims believe Jesus Christ is God? No. Do Muslims worship the true God? Yes. You're dead. You're dead. Dead. Next! And they see you guys pulling his body out dead. What happened to this guy? Don't worry about it. You sit in front of me and answer some questions. I don't give a guy that. That's beyond belief. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about nominal Catholics now, not people that aren't, you know, believers and ever were or don't claim to be Catholic. Maybe even nominal Christians, I'll give them that same treatment if they answer that way. Because they're supposed to be Christian. But that's how bad it is. This thing. That's what I'm telling you. I thank God about this. Because this is God's manifest proof to you. When you look at this desecration book that I had, you see this, you look at it, it's God's manifest proof to you that these people are dirty. That these people are at the end of the road. That for you to put idols up in your house, that's like somebody when they first start committing fornication, they sneak around, they hide and seek because they're ashamed. And they should have shame because that's what can convert them. They know they're not doing something right. And then when you commit fornication enough and you do it boldly enough and you get bold enough to put it up in public, you're at the end of the road. So these people were already committing idolatry. They are with their glorification of philosophy, with the Hellenization of Christianity. They were all holding on to a bunch of heresies and they were doing it for so long they lost all shame, all caution, and they came right out and just plastered it all over the doors. And they have, we're talking about not just, they have also naked pictures of people completely naked, but they have them doing sexual acts. I mean, it's crazy. There's one room in the Vatican, they got pictures of devils all over it, the map room. All devils. Oh! Let's go into the map room. I just want to take a look at some of these devils. Like, you know, I mean, and it's not in a negative light. So there you're looking at the Filaretti doors, 1445, Eugene the Fourth, that bum, and he had a lot of other heresies on that piece of crap. You read my book on non-Catholics can't hold office in the Catholic Church on Eugene the Fourth, you're going to see that these people held a whole bunch of heresies too. It's not just I just told you, for them to do this, they have to be holding on to some really bad heresies. Because when you put the idol up, that's the end of the road. Heresies are heresy. Idolatry is even worse. Is even worse. And in my book, I give a record of all the heresies in which the first 1,000 years of the Catholic Church, the true popes, the infallible teachings, the infallible councils, the ordinary magister, and the true church fathers condemns them. Condemns every one of these bastards. For a list of some of the heresies and idolatries of the great apostasy, go to my St. John the Baptist website and click on the conspiracies menu. And then when you get to that menu, click on the great apostasy. And then you're going to see under the general section, it's the first one listed right here. List of some idolatries and heresies of the great apostasy. Click on that and you will get that list, some of which led to the desecration of Catholic places. You want to idolize these people, you're going to go to Guyana with them. Okay, now we read in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 10, and I went in and saw and behold, every form of creep. Now he's going into the church. And I went in and saw and behold every form of creeping things, of living creatures, the abominations, and all the idols of the house of Israel were painted on the walls all round about. Idols painted on the wall all round about. Now I'm not going to show you here, but you can look at multitude of churches in Europe and elsewhere were desecrated with idols. I go on my desecration book. And Rome, not just the Vatican, them too. You go in the Vatican, you're going to see more stuff, Adonis and other things. But go into these other churches. I got a whole list of them. So all these Catholic, one-time Catholic churches are now desecrated with idols. Not just Rome, not just St. Peter's Basilica. Every Catholic church, in particular a cathedral or a wonderful basilica. Mm. It's like a Temple of Solomon. It's like a glorious place. Even just a church, too. And in the New Covenant era, we're allowed to have many churches. Back then, they can only have one place, which is a temple. Each one of our churches is like a temple. And they desecrated them. And you're looking at this here. And we're going to read about what happens and we from Ezekiel chapter 6, what he tells you God's going to do to them. So I'm just going to quote from that chapter, and this is what these people are going to expect. And as I said many times, that God's not only going to destroy St. Peter's Basilica and all the churches in Rome, I believe firmly he's going to destroy every single nominal Catholic church in Europe and elsewhere. Almost, maybe he'll leave one or two, I don't know. I think he's going to destroy them all. That's the punishment they deserve. And then people are going to look around and say, if you're not knowing about us, and you're accepting, you think that you always have to have a pope, it's always got to be in Rome, you always had to have a mass in churches, you're going to fall away and go over to the Antichrist and apostate Israel. They're going to worship him as the Messiah, and they're going to reject Christ. Because you're going to look at the devastation of these churches. They're no longer there. All the churches are destroyed, gone, everything, relics, statues, everything, dead, gone. Antichrist is reigning supreme over apostate Israel, and he's calling himself the Messiah. They're going to run to this guy like there's no tomorrow. And that's where they belong. And unless they're listening to me and what I'm teaching, they're going to have no hope, because they're not going to know what the true Catholic Church is. They're not going to know what happened, and they don't deserve to know what happened. If you think it's okay to have idols in church, then who wants you? You deserve to be fooled. But listen to what Ezekiel says is going to happen to you people, to these churches. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel, the Catholic Church, and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountain of Israel, ye Catholics and nominal Catholic churches, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountain, and to the hills, and to the rocks, in the valleys. Behold, I will bring upon you the sword, and I will destroy your high places, your churches, your basilicas, and your cathedrals. And I will throw down your altars, and your idols shall be broken in pieces. And I will cast down your slain before your idols. And I will slay, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel, of the nominal Catholics, before your idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. You don't fool around with God. Children, babies, infants, men, women, God in his predestined mind knows that you're there, you're going down too. We don't idolize no human beings, no infants, no children. Infants are evil, children can be evil, adults are evil. You can imagine all the wailing and screaming they're going to do when they see that. In all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste. In the high places, the churches, the cathedrals, and basilicas shall be thrown down and destroyed, and your altar shall be abolished, where you put the mass before the faith. Even this is a traditional story. I'm talking about just the Novus Ordo, the Tradcast, SSP 10, who have the Latin mass. They're going to be destroyed. I'm talking to you about the Renaissance era. This was going on when all they had was a beautiful mass. They desecrated those churches. The Novus Ordo wasn't around then. We're talking about this includes them also, not just the Novus Ordo. He's going to destroy your altars. Your altar shall be abolished, and it shall be broken in pieces, and your idols shall be no more in your temples, and shall be destroyed, and your work shall be defaced. And don't fool yourself, just because you may have a traditional Catholic church that doesn't have any idols in it, if you don't condemn the idols in the other churches and you think it's okay, you get the same treatment. You get the same treatment because you're approving of it. You're not condemning it. You're not standing up and saying, this is an abomination that's on in these churches over here. This is a desecration. This is idolatry. If you don't say that, I don't care if your church has all holy pictures in it, not one desecration. You're going down too. You're guilty by sins of commission and omission because you're approving it. You're not condemning it. Your churches are going down too. Because a lot of your churches in the United States are not as desecrated as the ones in Europe. But they're going down too. Because they don't say anything about it. And he says, your idols shall be no more. And your temples shall be destroyed. And your works shall be defaced. and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, the God of the Catholic Church, who is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God of Israel is the God of the Catholic Church. And I will leave in you some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when I shall have scattered you through the countries. And they that are saved of you shall remember me amongst the nations to which they have, to which they are carried captives, because I have broken their heart that was faithless and revolted from me, and their eyes that went fornicating after their idols, and there shall be, and they shall be displeased with themselves because of the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And so now some people are going to survive. And so it's a chance for them to repent. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have not spoken in vain, that I will do this evil to them. Thus saith the Lord God, strike with thy hand and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the abominations of the evils of the house of Israel, of the Catholics, the nominal Catholics. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is afar off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine, and I will accomplish my indignation upon them. It was so bad, like when he punished Israel, even ultimately when the temple fell in 70 AD, and it happened in the Old Covenant era too, one of the exiles, that they were eating their own children. That's how much they were eating their own children, because they were starving so much. And you shall know that I am the Lord, the Catholic God, when your slain shall be amongst your idols, round about your altars, in every high hill, and on all the tops of the mountains, and under every woody tree, and under every thick oak, in place where thou burnt sweet-smelling frankincense to all their idols. Now, these idols were not just in the churches and in the basilica. They had them in their homes. I mean, they had them all over the place. In the streets, street corners, homes. And I will stretch forth my hand upon them, and I will make the land desolate and abandoned from the desert of Dabatha and all their dwelling places, and they shall know that I am the Lord. There it is. He says, I am the Lord and change not. God's dogmas never change. He punishes people when they sin. If it's severely, it's a severe punishment. You think that they can do that back then and get punished, and you can do the same thing and not be punished? Where did you get that from? You think Christ died on the cross so you can justify your sins? He came to abolish sin, not to promote sin, not to make excuses for sin, not so you can put up idols and say, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. And as a matter of fact, I said before, you're even more guilty then, because you had the old and the new covenant. You're doing the same old thing they did, and you're going to get the same punishment. As St. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, don't be high-minded looking back and say, oh, look what God did to the Jews. Back then, we're better than them. You're better than them? Since the Renaissance era, you're equal to them. You're not better than them. You're just as evil as they are. And that's why they call themselves elder brothers now, right? Talmudic Jews and nominal Catholics, elder brothers. They got the Talmud, we got the Scholastic Summas. Same shit as the Talmud. The Summa, and you got the Talmud. All these Summas. It's the same thing. So you're going to get the same punishments. Let's just be another warning for you people. I want to try to make it brief to wake you up a little bit. And now this should inspire you, if you got some goodwill, to get my book on the desecrations of Catholic places. I highly recommend it. It's got 5 stars. Out of 5 stars. Anyway. And read my book, Non-Catholics Can't Hold Offices in the Catholic Church. And read all the heresies that these bastards held before they were bold enough to put those idols up on the church. Read about all the heresies. Read about their immoralities that they held before they put that stuff up on the church. And to realize that once that stuff went up on the church, now they're really in big trouble. That's Romans 1 Curse 3.0. When you put the idol up like that, and you read my book on that, they were committing gross sins. Pedophilia is not new. Homo is not new. Back in the 11th century, there's homos. They're all over. Since the Great Apostasy, homos were all over the place in the church. Pedophiles, fornicators, adulterers, horoscopes, worshiping the sun. Ezekiel goes into all that. I want to make this lecture short when you read it. Everything he talks about, they're doing. They got horoscopes, and they were going with whores. Probably doing horoscopes to see what whore they can go with next. Idolizing the sun. That when you look at horoscopes, I mean, unbelievable. So, let that be a warning to you people to go out there and listen. And if anybody listened to this whole sermon, you got to be a little bit of goodwill, right? Because most people, if they're bad, well, they had the sermon off in 10 minutes. So, we're not here for wimps, okay? If you're a manly person, you got to be manly. You're not a coward. You have any credibility. You want to be honest. Then listen to what I'm telling you. But most of all, if you want to save your soul, you got to stop listening to these mush cakes out there where everyone's going to heaven no matter what they do. You can commit any sin you want. This is the principle. They believe they can't stop sinning. And they're proud of it. They'll come up and say, oh, I'm a sinner. I sin every day and I can't stop. Jesus saved me anyway. Oh, so Jesus died on the cross to remit our sins so you can go on sinning. What did Jesus say in Luke 18:12? Go and sin no more. John 5:14? Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing will happen to you. Obey my commandments if you want to enter into life. That's Matthew 19:17. This is an excuse to go on sinning. Stop listening to these false prophets, these stupid, goofy pastors, these nominal Catholics, and I'm not just talking about the Vatican tours. I'm talking about the track cats. They're a bunch of bums, a bunch of cowards, and they don't care one really bit about your soul. They're all in this camp where we're all going to heaven. Everything's happy. How dare this guy come along and try to shake us up? Imagine if they were all, there's some people that are doing this, and we give them credit, props even. Some of them are a little more bold than others, but most of them are so sappy and weak. They got homosexual family members, and they're afraid to condemn them, so what do? They praise them. They idolize them. They go, oh, now it's good, nothing wrong with it. It was their choice. Instead of kicking the bastard out of the house and tell them, unless you get right, you don't come back in here no more. Under the old covenant herb, you don't repent, I'll kill you. People are living under an illusion, right? I just showed you something, and I did this lecture to show you something that you can't make an excuse for at all. You can go over to Rome, like I told you, and just take a trip over there and take a look at the places. It's there. And if that's there, I'll give you a short example. Like if you came into my house right now, and I had pornographic pictures, really bad porno, all over my walls. What does it say about me? How bad I got to be to do that, right? I say, Rich is gone. He's beyond gone. He's so bold, he's as bad as you can get. Well, these idols are worse. That an idol is spiritual fornication. That's what God calls it. You fornicated it. You're fornicating with idols. You're worshiping the idols. It's spiritual fornication is worse than physical fornication. You go in there, they got these idols smattered all over the place. And God's allowing them to rest comfortably in their sins. In the beginning, when the great apostasy started, he punished them severely to get them to repent. They didn't listen. Then he said, no more punishments. I'm going to get you into false prosperity. I'm going to leave you alone. Operation of Error's curse is coming down the world. And so you're going to believe that you're righteous? Because people deserve, that's the biggest deception of all, the false prosperity. And all you got to do is look what they believe in. That's how you know whether they're good or whether they're bad. But my point is, God's allowing this so Antichrist comes to power because the people are worthy of it. But when God allows the Antichrist, he's going to allow the Antichrist to do all this work, they're going to get it worse than even the Jews ever got it in the Old Covenant era. Worse than when the temple fell in 70 A.D., and like something like 1 million Jews were killed, 1 million were taken into captivity, they were eating their own children. That was Jesus prophesied that, and it happened. And what's going to happen to these nominal Catholic churches around the world is going to be worse than that even. And I'm going to dance on the roof when that happens. I may even take another walk up to the mountain and dance on the top of that mountain, but come down another way, the right way. And I'm going to dance. And I'm going to say, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You got no more of these churches to look at. No more of these churches to go more. No masses to go to. Oh, what am I going to do without the mass? I couldn't go to mass on the Lord's Day. I'm going to hell. I couldn't go to confession to this apostate pervert priest. I'm going to go to hell. These are the very things that are keeping them on the road to hell. You realize we haven't gone to Mass in all these years. We don't, because we refuse to sit with the assembly, the malignant, and God has blessed us with grace that you cannot understand. I've been chased for 30 years, and I haven't committed one sin, thought, word, or deed, things that I used to do. When I was going to Mass, I couldn't stop, because I'm going to a false church. It's not Catholic. You're not getting graces. You people can't see it. The devil's deceiving you. They get back and say, oh, I got such consolations. The devil gives you a false consolation, like a drug. You do a certain drug, you're going to have a nice, warm feeling for a while. It'll lift you up. But then when it's done, it's over. That's what these people get. They go to Mass, I'm lifted up to seven heavens. That's the devil doing that. Listen to your Protestants. Listen to your schismatics, your Hindus, your Buddhists. They all have their visions and their nirvanas, and they're all... The ultimate thing is, you got to base everything upon the truth. And God gives you such a strong faith. It's not just God lifts us up too, when he determines what he wants. He doesn't lift up all the time. When he wants it, he does. But the most important thing God gives us is a rock solid moral faith and charity and love of God and peace that nobody can take away from you. It's rock solid. It's not just based upon being lifted up all the time. It's that steady grace that God gives you. These people don't have it. So, what are you going to do when the church is gone? You're going to Mass, you're going to, oh, where's my church? Oh, what happened? Oh, there's all these people dead, and the church is gone. Father homosexual's dead. I can't go to confession to Father pedophile. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't go to Mass. I'm dead. They deserve it. Can you see why they deserve it? If you love the Catholic faith and just read the Bible even, read some basic dogmas, you'd understand that doesn't come first. How many times did God say that doesn't come first? I love not obedience to God more than Holocaust. OC 6:6. I desire knowledge of God more than Holocausts. The Mass is going to not only do you no good if you don't have the faith, it's going to give you double damnation for receiving unworthily and blaspheming. You don't want to study the Catholic faith, right? Tradcats are the same as even the V2ers. They don't study the faith. They got a few bit more dogs than the V2ers. You talk to them about that, they're like in another world. Some Protestants, you can argue a little bit from the scriptures. These people don't even read the Bible. I mean, the nominal Catholics are the worst. So we're talking about here, this is a little, what you got, this is like a little news report of what's going to, a prophecy, what's going to happen. I didn't prophesize it, Ezekiel did. I didn't prophesy that God did. God tells us, look, you don't got to be a prophet to know this. You just got to have the faith. You just got to have the faith. Put two and two together. You guys know what two and two is? It's five. Yes, it's five. Oh, excuse me, it's four. They wanted to hear five. It's four. Read the faith. Read what happens when you fall away. Read what happened to them. In chapter, St. Paul says it. Be not high-minded, you Gentiles. Because if you fall away like the Jews did, then I'm going to cut your asses off, and I'm going to re-engraft the Jews when they convert in these final days. How are you going to convert a good-willed apostate Jew or Muslim or anyone out there into that church when they know idols are bad? They give the Catholic Church a bad name. They give the Catholic faith a bad name. How many times have we got to tell you? That's not the true Catholic Church. Biggest deception of all time in these final days. I'd rather have nobody calling themselves a Catholic church than a fake one. We got all these fake Catholic churches we're up against. When Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees, everybody fell away. Going after here and go after that. He brought the true faith into the world again. He wasn't contending with all these false churches out there like we are. It's the worst time of all. But if you have the faith, it's very easy. Why can we confidently say that us few are the only ones in the whole world, and here's where the church is? Why can we see that with 1,000% confidence? Because of the faith. Because of the faith, because of the faith. We don't just get visions from God, or he tells us. God lifts us up, but we got the faith. We studied it, we read it, we look at it, read my writings, look at my works. It's there. Is anyone else teaching that? Is anyone preaching like I'm preaching? Is anyone giving you the full deposit of the faith? Has done the work that I've done that you can read and see? And if you don't want to read it, then that's your problem. That's your problem, you don't want to read it. You know what, people don't want to read things? It's affected ignorance. They're afraid. Because if they do, they're going to lose their family members, their friends, their jobs, and you will. And who cares? You're going to be happy when you lose all those things. You're going to realize you were a prisoner to all those things, and you were lying to yourself all these years, and they know they are, but a lot of things they lie. They know they're not honest, they're committing a lot of sins, and they feel bad, and there's no way you're going to escape it until you come to the true Catholic Church and break away from these things. Family ties are some of the worst things that are going to keep you from coming into the church, and are you going to lose your job? You're going to lose your position of authority? Who cares? When you have the faith, that's all that matters. Remember the Lord said, you sell everything and you get the one pearl, the perfect pearl, the pearl of a great price, which is the faith, and being with good Catholics? I can't explain to you the joy and peace that God gives us. The rock-solid confidence. I call it even normal, because really, the only people that are really normal, I mean totally normal, are good Catholics, not even bad Catholics. Bad Catholics aren't normal. They've got problems. Everyone else got problems, and you can look at it. Just look at the world today. You go and tell me anybody else in the world that's teaching what I'm teaching right now. Show me who he is. I hope there's somebody in Russia doing it. I hope there's somebody in China. Like Xi Jinping's, somebody in Xi Jinping's China is teaching it somewhere, and I don't know about so. In Chinese, and one day I'll meet them. Hey, you did? Yeah, me too. Fine. Show me. I haven't found them. God's way is always to save his church to one group of people, not scattered out all over the place. I mean, so, like I say, I hope it's, in other words, with Jeremiah's, I called upon these people, they will not answer you. You arrive, and they, so, you know.
Jeremiah's chapter 7, verses 25 to 28. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, from the day to day, rising up early and sending. And they have not hearkened to me, nor inclined their ear, but have hardened their neck, and have done worse than their fathers. And thou shalt speak to them all these words, but they will not hearken to thee. And thou shalt call upon them, but they will not answer thee. And thou shalt say to them, this is a nation which has not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God, nor received instruction. Faith is lost and taken away out of their mouth.
We're trying again. Let's see what happens, if anybody's going to listen. All right, so may God give all you people that have listened to this whole lecture some graces at least. If you listen to this whole thing, you got to get some graces. Most people will turn it off, but not everybody. So let's hope if you listen to this whole lecture, my prayer is that the Catholic God, the true Catholic God that only we preach right here, through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, St. Joseph, the Holy Family, and angels, St. Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, grant you all the graces you need to see what I'm saying is true. Open up your heart and to make some, and to really care about the truth. And don't be afraid of the world. You got to get out of the world and come over here with us and contact us. And at least you have us to help you. When I was first coming into this thing, it was only a few of us. It was very hard. It's not hard now. We got everything here to give you and to help you. So may God have mercy upon all you people that listen to this whole lecture. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website and go to the books menu, to the RGMI Catholic Books, and click on the Desecration of Catholic Places, and then click on the Great Apostasy. And then click on the Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers and the Scholastics. And then click on Non-Catholics Cannot Hold Offices in the Catholic Church.